This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm superstar Frank Morano. Do you think the United States or Canada has a big problem with organized crime? Well, you should see what Italy has had to deal with for the last 150 years or so. Italy has been plagued with problems with the mafia for a long time. And I won't get into the whole history of the mob and Italy, but it is light years beyond anything that you can imagine ever in the history of this country. Well, they're trying something new. And I'm wondering if there are people, and I think my answer is no, but I'm wondering if there are people that think this approach could work in the United States. Not just when it comes to members of the mob, but others, other types of criminal. Let me tell you what they're doing in Italy. First, starting in the state of Calabria, they have expanded a program to other Italian states as well, in which the state takes children away from convicted mafia members, thinking that it's the way to best break the family cycle of organized crime. So on the surface, it seems to make sense. You don't want these children growing up to be mobsters just like their parents and maybe grandparents. So let's take the kids away, get them to another responsible family that's not mobsters, and break the cycle. So they have not only renewed, but decided to expand this program, which even when it was first implemented was incredibly controversial, to remove children from their families to break a, for any reason, but to break a cycle of criminal behavior. It's called the Free to Choose Project. And it's been in the Calabria region, which is the base of one of the main mafia families over there, since 2012. And now they are extending it to Sicily and the Campania region, which are both home to very notorious mafia families as well. And the aim of the program is exactly what it sounds like, to remove children from the mob culture they were born into and break the generational cycle of crime, giving the children a chance to live a normal life. And authorities can only remove a child if they can prove to a court that they are physically or mentally endangered by their family's criminality. Police and social workers then swoop in without warning and take the child away. The families have no say in the matter so far. 150 children have been removed from their families and placed in foster care in secret locations around the country. Secret locations, obviously, because they don't want the criminals to get them. 30 mothers have chosen to join their children, with 7 also agreeing to act as witnesses for state prosecutors, which, by the way, leads me to think that was one of the incentives in implementing this program. I think they were actually hoping that by telling the mothers of these children that, hey, you know, if you want to remain with your child, you'll have the opportunity to do so in a secret location. But by the way, wouldn't it be nice if you testified against your husband? So they're very proud of this. The justice minister in Italy, Carlo Nordio, said this is a historic moment in the fight against the mafia. And the government is proud of this, and this is not a partisan issue. This has been implemented by governments of various parties. But the founder of this program is a gentleman named Roberto Di Bella. And Roberto Di Bella founded this program, and he said at the signing ceremony that during his 25 years as a juvenile court judge in Calabria, he found himself trying fathers and then their sons. And that's what the impetus was for this free to choose program. Quote, "We tried boys for trying to kill their mothers who wanted to separate from their mafia husbands. So with the free to choose program, we set out to change life trajectories that would otherwise have been inevitable. There are children being taught to shoot at 8 years old. There are children dealing crack at 8 years old." That's what they're saying, the head of the Italian Parliament's Mafia Commission. But this, as you might imagine, this scheme has also drawn some criticism, with some people saying even mobsters have the right to be fathers. So in September, for instance, Matteo Messina Denaro, a convicted mastermind of some of the most heinous murders carried out by Cosa Nostra, and the guy that's considered Italy's number one fugitive, died in a prison hospital just a few months after being captured. He'd spent decades on the run. And that they're saying that's a huge shift. Maybe it's symbolic, but they're saying it's a huge shift in the entire mafia landscape. They've waged a law enforcement crackdown on organized crime in recent years, and we've seen hundreds of arrests and all sorts of prosecutions, which is certainly a good thing. But my question for you is not only what do you think of this, but serious question. Should we implement something like this in the United States? I don't think it's practical. Well, first of all, I don't think it's constitutional. But I also wonder how effective it would be. If, aside from members of the mob, should we implement it for people that are participating in drug rings? How about people that are working in sex trades or dogfighting rings? You know, I talked earlier about a fella who was busted for being the ringleader of a dogfighting ring. You know who one of the people arrested with him was? His son. So should this be implemented in the United States? And what other crimes should be considered significant enough that involve the penalty of losing your child? 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. If someone's a criminal, should they lose their child? And what crimes should constitute a serious enough offense where they lose custody of their child and it goes into, or that child goes into, a secret, undisclosed location? 800-848-9222.
A question. Since before your sun burned hot in space and before your race was born, I have awaited a question.
By the way, as I await your response to that question, if you're interested in the mafia, I do host a podcast that does deal a bit with organized crime. And I was slated to do an episode today, but I think we're going to have to reschedule that due to some family issues that we have going on. But it's called The Racket Report, and my most recent guest was a fellow named Jeff Sussman, who wrote a book called Tinseltown Gangsters. And if you remember the movie Bugsy with Warren Beatty, one of the most influential mobsters in Hollywood for a long time was Benjamin Bugsy Siegel, who's played by Warren Beatty in the movie. I talked about Bugsy Siegel with Jeff Sussman. Who was Bugsy Siegel? What was his role in Hollywood?
He was basically an extortionist who loved hobnobbing with A-list movie stars and directors and producers. They became his friends. But he also he would throw these very lavish parties and invite them, and then he would borrow money from them. And because he had such a fearsome reputation, no one resisted lending him money. And of course, being a gangster, he never intended to pay any of the money back. And he bragged to Meyer Lansky that he had borrowed more than $400,000 from these people at his parties, and he would never pay it back. He was kind of proud of himself.
So it was an interesting conversation. We got into not only Bugsy Siegel, but Mickey Cohen, even Joe Kennedy. If you want to listen to the conversation, you can go to redapplepodcastnetwork.com. Just search the Racket Report or search the Racket Report in any podcast app. You know, a woman, I believe her name's Karen, wrote to me yesterday saying our podcasts are no longer available on Google Podcasts. Well, apparently Google has discontinued their podcast platform. That has nothing to do with us. That is all Google. Google made the decision to reform the way they were handling podcasts. So what they're doing, instead of offering Google Podcasts, they're migrating everything to, I think it's called YouTube Audio or YouTube Music. So pretty soon, I think within the next couple of days, our podcast will be able to be found on there. So for those of you that are Google Podcast users, that's where we'll be. You should just be able to search The Other Side of Midnight or The Racket Report. All right. Let me hear from you. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Pete is in New Jersey. What's on your mind, Pete?
Yeah. Hi, Mr. Frank. In recent weeks, I was pondering about the coming eclipse. Easter season, there's that world news, all kinds of stuff. And I just arrived, educationally speaking, I'd say that most of the college graduates of the baby boom generation, they have it that they are God's judge rather than God is their judge. Mm-hmm. And from that square A, all of their future logic stems off of that, you know, because everybody has intellect, reasoning, and free will. So if you start off with a certain premise, well, then you have to validate that premise with all the rest of your thinking.
Right.
And their thinking is that they are God's judge rather than God is their judge.
Well, but who? You've totally lost me, Pete. I honestly have no idea what you're talking about. Who's saying they're God's judge?
Our whole generation of baby boom college graduates has been encouraged and taught and trained to think with this attitude.
Right. So it sounds like you're against taking the children away from their parents.
Well, I'm not talking about mafia. I'm talking about North America here.
Okay. Well, if someone's a criminal here we're talking about implementing this in the United States, they should not be removed. They shouldn't have their children removed from them.
I was speaking more in terms of what you were talking about the Pope earlier. That's
okay.
what made me think about this. And I would say that most people, they don't know, don't want to know, don't care what the Pope says about anything.
Interesting. Pete, thank you. 800-848-9222. Let's check in with Jeff in Minnesota, listening on WCCO. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Oh, well, it's nice of you to ask. I'm thriving in moonlight mischief.
Yeah, always nice to ask, huh? So, you know, I got a question. Well, not a question, but I got a thought about this mafia thing and taking kids away. I mean, it's kind of as simple as people are raised the way they're raised. It doesn't matter. I mean, whether it be two generations ago, one generation ago, whatever it is, it's still a part of their generation and the way they see things as correct. So you start taking kids away from moms and dads and stuff like that. Wouldn't that be the same way as, let's say, back in 1950, when they'd take young girls over to the nunnery to have their babies so nobody could see? You know, so I find it actually surprising that they'd even think that way.
In Italy, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand where they're coming from. They are so desperate to break the back of the mafia out there. And the mafia just has so much influence and so much control over every aspect of life, the government, the economy, religious life, secular life, that they're trying to come up with some sort of out of the box solutions to break the cycle. But I agree with you. I think it's terrible. I think the government should not be able to play God and essentially determine what parents get to have which children.
Right. It's like going to your neighbor going, you know what? Sorry about that. I mean, thank you for having a kid, but we're going to let you have the neighbor's kid instead. We find that to be a better match. So
yeah,
it's kind of silly that way. But I do have a question. Do you think we'll just go with the mafia. Mm-hmm. Do you think that they have any still solid connection in New York or through the East?
Go ahead. Finish your question. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, or for that matter, even Las Vegas.
Well, so these are issues that we cover a great deal in the podcast, and that's a question I ask almost every guest. But my answer is not really. There are some areas, the ports, a little bit of labor racketeering, a little bit of Wall Street, where there still is a lot of mafia influence. But even just going back to where the mob was 30 years ago, it's a shell of what it was 30 years ago. And that's a good thing. We don't want, the underground economy and criminals controlling various aspects of our life and inflating prices and things like that. So I think anybody that follows this stuff will say, and again, listen to the Racket Report because we get into this in much more detail. Anyone that follows this stuff would say that no, it's a shell of its former self. Still exists, but not in any meaningful way.
Right. And, you know, back in their day, hey, that helped them exist, you know, and eat and all that kind of thing. But it's long since gone by the wayside.
Yeah, that's my analysis of the situation. Jeff, thank you. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Those of you that were trying to get through, Matt is back. He had to get up for a few minutes. So those of you that were calling and couldn't get through, call back and we'll get to you. 800-848-9222. If you want to email me, we are going to go through your email and snail mail correspondence. There's a stack of mail here that I am holding right up to the microphone. A lot of good stuff here. We're going to go through as much of it as we can. And those of you that have questions, I will do my best to answer them. 800-848-9222. Joaquin is in Pennsylvania. Hello, Joaquin.
Frank, you know, this is a slippery slope. I mean, in the past, I mean, I've known some people in the mob myself, you know, and I also knew a young guy who was into martial arts, and he got himself a little side gig where he was going around collecting, you know. But anyway, it's still, for them to take kids away, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. I understand. You want, on the one hand, you sit there and you look at, well, yeah, in the past, I mean, like you take it to Gotti's, you know, handed down from John Gotti Sr. to John Gotti Jr., you know, and then I don't know if you know the Avellinos out on Long Island, they were responsible for whacking the Quebecer brothers, you know, it all got handed down from father to son, you know. So on the one hand, you might look at it and say, maybe it's a good idea. But, you know, unfortunately, it does open the door to indiscrimination.
When you say indiscrimination, what do you mean indiscrimination?
In other words, they can expand the horizon. There's no, you know.
Yeah, Joaquin, I actually think that's a great point, right? I mean, let's say we started just for the children of drug traffickers, then we expand it to gang members, then we expand it to prostitutes, then we expand it to people that run pump and dump schemes, then we expand it to people that have embezzled in their companies. You're right. And it's not as if, at least in America, I don't know how it is in Italy, but at least in America, it's not as if the foster system is a paragon of effective child rearing. I hear a lot of complaints about children that wind up in the foster care system. So I think you raise a very good point on the slippery slope front. Thank you, Joaquin. I'd love to hear from someone that disagrees with us because I don't think this is a good idea. So far, Joaquin doesn't think it's a good idea. The gentleman in Minnesota doesn't think it's a good idea. What do you think? If you disagree, we'll put you to the front of the line, even if you're not a woman. We normally will observe our female first rule. We will trump that for the purposes of this discussion with a disagreement first rule. If you want to email me, frank.morano@redappleaudionetworks.com. We also have some snail mail to go through, which we will in about 15 minutes, but still plenty of time to chat with you via telephone. We'll continue with your calls straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Man, dig that crazy chick.
Who wears short shorts?
Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. So I'm working on putting together this ping pong tournament for Saturday, and it's going to be fun. It's basically our third annual ping pong tournament, and you always are fighting the last war. You learn from the mistakes in every tournament. So one of the things that I was hoping to do this year is to avoid having people sit around is get a second table. So that the tournament progresses a little bit more quickly, because I will acknowledge that it did go a while. Now, most people are having fun. They're meeting new people. They're having some great food, having something to drink, watching the games themselves. It's a good time. But, people don't necessarily have 6 or 7 hours to sit around while others play ping pong. So I've been trying to get a second ping pong table, and it is not going well because I'm willing to rent one. But most of this, so far, every service that I've contacted about renting a table, they won't do it. They have a minimum of something like $2,000 or $2,500 before they'll make the trip to transport anything. And the rental for a ping pong table would be $350, $400. So I'm not meeting that $2,000 minimum. So I'm still working on that, trying to get a table. But I'm also contending with everybody's schedules and people not letting me know. So I sent out a reminder yesterday to everybody. Hey, how are you looking for Saturday? Can you let me know that we're good to go so that I can make the brackets? Because some people can't come the whole day. Some people are coming a little later. Some people want to play a little earlier. So I'm trying to accommodate the games while maintaining the integrity of the bracket at a time that is good for people. So I text my brother-in-law, for instance, who I was under the impression was playing. I said to him, how are you looking for Saturday? He responds, unsure as of right now. When do you need the final word? Okay, I mean, Daniel, now. Now is when I need the final word, which is why I'm asking you. I don't understand this whole culture of people who have no idea what they're going to be doing on Saturday. My friend Darren, how are you looking for this Saturday? Well, we have some college friends visiting. Can't get a confirmation on timing. We'll keep you posted. Oh, okay. Don't rush. Don't rush. Nobody's. But anyway, one of the people that that always plays in this tournament is my friend Kyle O'Brien. I've talked about Kyle on the air before. He's a great guy. And honestly, we could do a whole show about Kyle O'Brien and no one would believe it, because the kind of adventures that he's had as a club promoter, as just a guy that hangs out, as a restaurant owner, as a character, is just the stuff of legend. And, you know, he's been a friend of mine for about 25 years. And, you know, we've had a lot of adventures together. And then, you know, he certainly had a lot of adventures on his own. But he's the kind of guy, and I think we all know a couple of people like this, maybe one or two. He's the kind of guy that it doesn't matter what walk of life you put him into. You could put him into a room filled with CEOs or drug dealers. He will find a way to make friends with everybody in that room. And it's not like he's conning them. He's not working them or anything. He just genuinely has a love for people and this incredible enthusiasm. For instance, I'll never forget. What year is it? It's now. So 16 years ago. No, 18 years ago. I was driving a broken down jalopy, right? And I was driving in this car. Curtis Sliwa, the head of the Guardian Angels, William Weld, the former governor of Massachusetts, and Kyle O'Brien. These three people on the surface have nothing in common, but and Kyle is a giant. He's practically, you know, I think he's 6'4", 6'5". The guy's a giant. And he sits in the front because of his long legs. And, you know, William Weld and Curtis are tall, and I'm driving them. And Kyle finds a way to make this car ride just so incredibly engaging. So anyway, why am I mentioning Kyle? He texts me on Saturday in the morning, maybe around 10:30, 11, and says, what's your address? And I give him my address. I figure, boy, that's great that Kyle's planning a week in advance where he's going to be coming from, or maybe he's somewhere on one of his excursions around the world, England or Singapore. You never know where Kyle's going to be. And maybe he wants to send me a postcard, because I've sent him a lot of postcards over the years. And all of a sudden, it's about 2:15 in the afternoon, 2:30. We've put Carmine down for a nap. And who do we see walking to our door? Kyle O'Brien. And I said, I hope Kyle doesn't think the tournament is today. Sure enough, Kyle was a week early for the tournament. He comes in and he says, where is everybody? I've never had this easy a time parking at this tournament. Usually the parking's all over, but there's nowhere to park. I said, did you think the tournament was today? Yeah. I said, why did you think the tournament was today? With the 9,000 emails and text messages that I sent out reminding people the date of the tournament, do you think it was today? And we had a good laugh about it, and he wasn't sure why he thought it was that day, but he was there. And it actually worked out really well because, you know, at the tournament, I'm not going to get to spend a lot of one-on-one time with anybody, and Kyle's one of those guys that I really treasure spending a little time with, so my wife and I did not watch that motion picture, and instead it became a very Kyle-focused afternoon and evening, which was delightful. So it was great to be able to spend time with him, and we were the beneficiaries of him showing up a week early. But then I said, Kyle, the tournament starts at 12:30. It's now 2:30. So if today was the tournament, you would have been 2 hours late. And he said, yeah, I was really hungover this morning. I don't know what to tell you. So he's now had an extra week to plan. We'll see how it goes. All right. We're going to go through your mail in just a bit. The mail you've sent me. We've got snail mail here. We've got SMS text messages. We've got a whole bunch of good stuff here. And we will go through it straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
I remember when I was a little girl, our house caught on fire. I'll never forget the look on my father's face as he gathered me up in his arms and raced to the burning building out of the pavement. And I stood there, shivering in my pajamas and watched the whole world go up in flames. And when it was all over, I said to myself, is that all there is to a fire? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? that's all there is, my friends. Then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze. And
the great Peggy Lee singing Is That All There Is. Believe it or not, this was one of the favorite songs of Hugh Hefner, the founder of the Playboy Mansion and of Playboy itself as a brand. And today would have been Hugh Hefner's birthday if he was still alive. And just a few months before he died, back in 2017, he picked out for People magazine his 24 favorite songs of all time. And that one was one of his 24 favorites. Say what you want about Hef. Not only did he have great taste in women, he had great taste in music. All right. Without further delay, it is now time for me to go through some of your written correspondence. I don't know what happened. Somebody made a trip to the P.O. box because we went from having no letters for weeks to being just loaded with mail here. Let me tell you, by the way, if you want to send mail to us, to me specifically, you could send it to P.O. Box 1777. That's P.O. Box 1777. Attention Frank Morano, or attention The Other Side of Midnight, New York, New York 10163. That's P.O. Box 1777. Attention Frank Morano, New York, New York 10163. So we got a lot of stuff here. We have social media. We have text message, and you can text me anytime, 8168-MORANO, and we have snail mail and email. So we're going to go through as much as we can in the next 20 minutes here as we...
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman, mail today.
Let's begin with a little snail mail here. This is a nice postcard. There's a postcard from Long Island, of all places, with a giant duck on the front of it. It says, to Frank Morano, good morning. My birthday is coming up in February. I will be sending my list soon. Please try not to forget this year. P.S. I'll be 62 and was born in 1962. I'm as old as the Mets. Your fan, Maria. So, hey, Maria, I'm sorry. I guess we missed your birthday in February, but if you want a rain check, we'll give you an opportunity to pick some of the music that we play tomorrow. This is an SMS text message. It is unsigned. Someone asking the question, what do you think of President Trump's proposal to allow states to make a decision on abortion policy? Would he have been better off going with the Republicans on a national abortion ban? I think Trump is absolutely right. I think it's the best political strategy, because this abortion has been a losing issue for the Republicans in election after election. But I also think it's, whatever your position is on abortion, it's a much better position than a national abortion ban, because this allows states' rights. This allows people to elect folks themselves on a state level that will implement the kind of policies that they want. So I think Trump's right from both a political perspective and a policy perspective. Fred writes, subject Spectrum. Spectrum had a huge outage at about 1 p.m. in the afternoon that they sent texts and calls to their customers yesterday. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Fred, but thank you for letting us know. Robert writes on the subject of my interview with Byron Tao. He says, hi, Frank. Your interview with Byron was excellent. He's very well reasoned and intelligent regarding data collection. What is his name again? And the title of his book. I'd say it must be a very good read and well worth buying. I'm interested in getting a copy of it. Well, I did mention it several times, but I'll do it again. His name is Byron Tao, T-A-U. And the book is called Means of Control, How the Hidden Alliance Between Tech and Government is Creating a New American Surveillance State. And I think he's right about that. All right. Thank you, Robert. I'm glad you enjoyed the interview. Let's see here. This is snail mail. This is an envelope from no return address. Oh, boy. You know when it's no return address. It's never something good. It's never, Frank, you do the greatest show ever, or here's a check. It's going to be something terrible. It is, and I have not read this. I'm reading this cold on the air. It's in a yellow piece of paper, handwritten. The news story about a plane's sudden nosedive. I don't want to be quoted over the air. You know what? This guy doesn't want to be quoted over the air, or this gal. He didn't even sign his name. So I'm quoting you over the air. Sorry. I don't want to be quoted over the air. This is just to inform you and Noam that there is no nosedive button on a pilot's seat. The flight attendant accidentally pushed a button that adjusts the position of the pilot's chair, like when you change the angle of the backrest on the driver's seat of your car. This caused the pilot to be pitched forward, and since the pilot's hands were on the plane's controls, the forward push caused the nosedive. You know, that Noam Layden, he gets me in more trouble with his comments than anybody. Sheesh. I mean, Noam, really. Email from David. He writes, subject, Cody, I've heard you speak about people who say you talk about Carmine on your program and they don't like it. It reminded me of how Kathy Lee Gifford used to talk about one of her sons a lot when she was on that program with Regis Philbin. I suppose to some people, Carmine Murano translates from Italian into Cody Gifford in English. That's funny. He does have a pretty, you know, ethnic name, but he's very Irish looking. He has got to be the most Irish-looking Carmine Murano in history. All right, this is from Hetty. I won't use her last name. This is dated February. Frank Murano, you had a general on this morning's program who was blatantly anti-Israel. You are not stupid. You must know that Hamas put bodies into ovens, excuse me, babies into ovens, split open pregnant women's bellies, and executed the fetus in front of the mother's eyes, then killed the mother. This is just one tiny statement of what these demonic creatures did. You have a wife and toddler of your own. You did not stand up to this obviously biased general. Shame on you. You are a disgrace. You can charm as many people as you want with your brains and wit, but you cannot charm God. He sees all and judges all, and when you take no side, you are on the side of evil. Thank you, Hetty. Very kind of you. At least you acknowledge my substantial brains and wit, which I certainly appreciate. This is from Ellen, who writes on the subject of solar eclipses. I put this in the wrong envelope here. She says on the subject of solar eclipses, a few days before the eclipse, I learned that our local library, I don't want to mention the branch, our local library... the garbage, was distributing solar glasses, one to an address. I asked the librarian if the others at her address were supposed to go blind. When we got to the library, there was a long line, and the librarian took my driver's license, recorded the information, and gave me the glasses. But then, shortly thereafter, we discovered that another library in another jurisdiction was also distributing the glasses, 4 to each person, no questions asked. I love those no questions asked policies, whether it's gun buyback programs or solar eclipse buyback programs. You want to get guns off the streets. That's what they should have done. You know how they have had toys for guns, gas for guns? Give solar eclipses for guns. People would have been turning in guns like crazy. Guess what? The coveted glasses at the first branch were defective. They didn't work at all. Very interesting. Thank you, Ellen. This is from Kathleen. Let us see what Kathleen has written. Kathleen has sent a series of articles here. Seriously good film and TV. Okay, what else we have here? Is there a note with this, or it's just articles? See, I like a note with the articles that explains why I'm getting these articles. Journey Towards Everest. Grueling 8-day trek to the icon. Yeah, so there's no note here that I see. Thank you for these articles, Kathleen. I will read them and put these aside here. Okay. Let's see. Email. Linda writes on the subject of wrestling. Hi, Frank. I am personally not a fan of wrestling, but I don't have negative feelings towards it either. However, it never bothers me when you discuss it because your guests are entertaining and informative. You know, Linda is somebody that gets this show. She gets what we're doing. We try to make everything interesting and informative. And by the way, I got a lot of feedback to that extent about John Arezzi yesterday. Even people that don't care about wrestling thought he was interesting. That's what we try and do. Make the subjects you're not interested in at least somewhat interesting. Since I'm not a fan and generally do not pay attention to what goes on with wrestling, I always find myself learning some interesting facts during your discussion. I believe that one of the things that makes your show so interesting and outside the box is your extremely wide variety of topics as well as your interview skills. By the way, I am very interested in the solar eclipse, and I'm looking forward to it. I absolutely love anything to do with the sky, stars, planets, etc. Enjoy the eclipse tomorrow. Just don't let Sweet Carmine run away from you. The little ones are so fast, and he might take off his glasses and look up. I'm sure you've thought of that. Sincerely. Stay well, Linda. One person just sent me an SMS text message. They did not give their name, but it says, test. Well, to whomever sent me that test, test successful. All right, here we go. This is snail mail from, oh boy, here we go. I didn't even look at the letter yet. I'm just looking how it's signed. It's signed from Grammar Groupie. I'm sure I've said something that ain't right. Dear Frank, again, I'm not writing to you with the intention of having this read over the air. I just want you to correct your grammatical errors. Someone who talks for a living should speak correctly. Today, I heard you say, whomever comes up with the best question when it should be whoever, because it's the subject of the verb comes up with. You also said introduce when you should have said introduce, and taller than them when it should be taller than they are. I also wrote to a colleague of yours who always mispronounces the name of a restaurant by accenting the second syllable instead of the first one. So there you have it. Thank you, Grammar Groupie. Appreciate that. All right, back to the email we go. Igor writes, where is Marlena Shivo? Frank, one of the guests who I think you're most playful with and matches your wit and charm is Marlena Shivo. I think you both make great radio together. She was last on your show maybe second week in December, if I remember correctly. Have her on your show. Yeah, you know, it has been a while. I didn't realize that it had been that long since we had Marlena on, but I'll reach out to her. I know she's doing her own podcast now on the YouTube. Maybe she's too big for us, but I'll reach out to her. And you're right, we are overdue for a visit. Thanks for that suggestion. Let's see here. I can't make out who this is from. It's from Michael. Okay. And Michael has sent in this a Scooby-Doo bookmark. Hello. Thank you. What looks like an angel bookmark. Thank you. These are both good. And some religious cards here. We got Jesus on there. We got Mary. Let's see what Michael has to say. Hi, Frank. Hope I have the right address here. I listen to you almost every single night. I know you were looking for some bookmarks as you talked about on the show the other night. I hope you enjoyed your Disney World trip. Keep up the great work on the show. I'll be listening as usual. Maybe someday I will get the nerve enough up to actually call into the show. Have a happy Easter to you and the entire family. That is very nice. I am going to save these bookmarks, and I could use some bookmarks. That's very kind. Got Scooby-Doo and Jesus, both as bookmarks. What are the chances? Oh, a nice St. Anthony. Maybe this praying to St. Anthony will help me find my J.J. Dillon book, which is still missing. All right. Lester Lee writes in response to my interview with Vicky Wong last week about the earthquake in Taiwan. I think you crossed the line when you asked your guest if she had a joke about the earthquake that struck Taiwan. If lives are lost and there is property damage, joking about it is not right. Put yourself in their shoes. Would you feel okay if someone joked about it if you lost a loved one? The joke would work if there was no loss of life, no injuries, and no property damage. Okay. I can understand why a lot of people feel that way. I think, first of all, she mentioned that she and her comedian friends had joked about it. I just asked her to tell one of the jokes, but, you know, I'm not dodging responsibility here. I'm sure a lot of people felt the way that you did, Lester. Thanks for expressing. I don't. I mean, honestly, I think that it's okay to make jokes in almost every circumstance, including the tragic. I think sometimes you need to laugh to keep from crying. All right, this is an interesting envelope. This is from Patricia in Columbus, Ohio. It's a map. Look at this. It's a map envelope. It's really cool. I love this. Okay. Frank, in a promo for the Racket Report, beautiful handwriting here. And at the top it says, you don't have to read this on air. Well, it's open already, and we've begun this process. In a promo for the Racket Report, you mentioned not being familiar with gangsters like Capone venturing into the something. I don't know. My mother was a history buff, primarily architecture, Civil War, Revolutionary War, Old West, and gangsters. Needless to say, I hear stories quite frequently. John Dillinger and theirs regularly drove to Wisconsin. Oh, Conson, that's what it is, to cool off. A favorite spot was Little Behema Lounge, which is still in operation. The following books are fascinating. And then it's a list of several books. P.S. Lovely tribute to Malachi McCourt. I was a fan of his. Gee, I still am. Well, thank you. That's very nice. Thank you for that. One more piece of snail mail, and then we will be caught up on the snail mail aspect of things. At least for now, it arrives quickly. Dear, oh boy. This is Dear Frank. I think it's from the same lady. Once again, I'm not writing to you with the intention of having this read over the air. This is just FYI. And then it's a discussion of Lincoln's birthday and what is an appropriate garbage pickup. There you have it. Okay. All right. Back to the email we go. Robert in Woodside writes, hi, Frank. I've not talked to you for over a year. I heard your broadcast on Wednesday morning. You were asking your audience if they had any tips on getting rid of gray hair or dyeing it. First of all, your skin is the largest organ of the body. I would not recommend dyes due to the fact that your skin will absorb the chemicals that you're applying to your scalp. Now, let me tell you about catalase. The human body has many hormones, and one of them is catalase. You also have peroxide in your body, which your body produces because of exercise, stress, and everyday occurrences. As you know, peroxide is a bleach, which lots of women use to dye their hair. What catalase does is that it counteracts the side effects of peroxide in your body. Here's the important part. As you age, your catalase production in the body decreases. Thus, the peroxide now starts to gray your hair. I buy a lot of my supplements from a company by the name of, and he gives the company, they sell Catalase in a capsule form. I hope that I've been helpful to you. Thank you, Robert. I will look further into that. Okay, there's a text message here. Mark B. writes, nobody wants to answer this. Months ago, I had a guest. I'll save you the long version. At the end of the interview, your guest, he said I had a guest, but he means you had a guest, meaning me. At the end of the interview, your guest alluded to the telescope, which he repaired, and as a tip or gift for his services, repairing and not being sanctioned to do or government authorized, was allowed to take the scope where very few people were allowed, the other side of the moon, and what he saw was factories. Yes, factories. Yet to date, no one has commented. Even your rude phone screener has said, nah, he won't know this. Get rid of him. Thanks if you get this. Thank you, Mark. We will get rid of Matt. That's it. I was just waiting for this text message. Had no idea that was the case. So, Matt, hope your resume is polished. All right. Email. Julia writes, hi, Frank. Great show tonight as usual. Today I saw the movie Arthur the King. Super good movie, especially for dog lovers, as I know you've stated you are. Thank you, as always, for the most varied and informative show on talk radio. Oh, this is from Mike in Detroit, listening on WFDF. Frank, I heard you mention that you are rewatching Star Trek The Next Generation. I was a big fan of Star Trek The Next Generation, but I loved the women on that show more than anything. If you had to pick, whether it's a guest star or a regular cast member, who was the hottest woman on Star Trek The Next Generation? You know, Mike, that is such a good question. And there were a lot of very attractive women on that show, both the guest stars and the regular cast members. So as far as the guest stars, I don't remember her name, but the woman who played Tasha Yar's sister was smoking. I mean, really smoking. I think the actress that played Ro Laren was very attractive. And look, Denise Crosby, is there a woman better looking than Denise Crosby? But I think it's got to be Marina Sirtis, Counselor Troy. To me, no one sexier than her, especially with that voice. Thank you.
Another letter from our listeners.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.